This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Welcome all our listeners in the U.S. and around the world. We want to welcome today's show on Baseball Outside the Box. This is the show that interviews baseball's best coaching minds who love the challenge, the status quo. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo, back from New Zealand with the International Sports Group Coaches Development Program. We held there. What a great time in New Zealand. It was our second year there. And before we begin, a special thanks to our producer with the Lineup Media Group, Brian Kroc. If you love listening to different podcasts, then you have to check out the fastest growing podcast company anywhere in the world, the lineupmediagroup.fm. Also, special thanks to all our listeners. We keep growing. Keep helping us. You've done a great job spreading the word on social media, emailing your friends, and telling them about the show. So thank you very much. And want to give you a couple announcements. Caliendo Sports is heading to Hong Kong to host a coaches certification program. It's the third time I have the honor of doing that and looking forward to it here in October. So we'll be doing that and we'll hopefully be doing a show from Hong Kong. And the coaches certification is important because that develops coaches at the grassroots level, which helps grow the game and also keep kids in the sport. And one last announcement, Caliendo Sports, also their USA baseball team is heading to the Dominican Republic at Christmas time with our 14-year-old team. We are in search of two more players. The trip is a go. We look forward to the cultural baseball experience in the Dominican Republic. If you're interested, get a hold of me at petercaliendo@icloud.com. All right, now for the best part of the show, we want to get started. If you've not heard me before, you've heard me say very strongly that I am a huge supporter. I've been for over 20 years about coaches' education at the grassroots level because I believe strongly that grows the game and not only grows it, but keeps the game, kids in the game in a long time. And you've also heard me mention several times, and we've had special people, special guests from the Dutch Federation, the Canadian Baseball Federation, because they have two outstanding educational programs and the third country that has an outstanding educational coaches program on a long-term basis is the Australian Baseball Federation. And that's who we're going to talk about today with a special guest. So here's what I want to do. Let me just tell you real quick about our guest, and then we'll introduce him and we'll get going because there's going to be some great information. Our guest, former Australian national team player, coach, member of the team that won the silver medal at 204 Olympics in Athens, Greece, and a former major league player with the Minnesota Twins, Glenn Williams. And I got to tell you about Glenn. You know, I'm going to ask him about this. He signed at 16 years old. Now, currently, he is the general manager of Team Australia. He's overseeing the national teams competing in international competition in the World Cup events, as well as programs developing and preparing athletes for these events. He's been the national hitting coordinator with the national team and a senior hitting coach also. I mean, he serves on the World Baseball Softball Confederation Tournament Committee. And full disclosure, Glenn and I serve on that committee together, and it is a great honor. Some great things happening there. Now, Glenn has had a tremendous background experience, and not only that, but he has a history of family when it comes to baseball development. His father, Gary Williams, was heavily involved in the development of Baseball Australia. So for now, we'll put all his information on our show notes, but I want to get going and introduce to you Glenn Williams. Glenn, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Pete. I'll keep coming on again if you're going to give me an introduction like that. Thanks very much, mate.
Yeah, no problem. I figure the better introduction I come, I might get you back, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, listen, I know your schedule's tight. You just arrived in the U.S. in Arizona. You're doing some stuff with Major League Baseball there. You know, interesting because there's a lot of players there. Kind of give us a little background, what's going on there, just to give our audience an idea how international baseball is really growing and how players are starting to come to the U.S. to even be looked at more.
Yeah, it's something that MLB and a lot of the federations around the world have worked on for a little while now, and MLB's support of player development in Australia has been almost 20 years strong, and a lot of, you know, the players that have gone on to play in the big leagues kind of from 2000 onwards have probably been alumni of Major League Baseball programs have been held in Australia. So, 3 years ago or so, we, had the conversations with, Chris Haydock and Giovanni Hernandez and other MLB personnel around, how we can improve the programs. And we kind of come to the conclusion that, having our best guys play against people that were striving to be better than, they'd have to be able to leave the countries that they're in. So Major League Baseball came up with the initiative of bringing players in, from Australia, in from Europe. We have a player here from Uganda and South Africa. We have players from pretty much all over the world. And the first MLB trip that Baseball Australia worked with MLB on was spring training of 2016. In the fall of 2016 was the first World Select Team, which is, Australian players. There's a player here from New Zealand and then players from Europe and Africa come together and we play. We're here in Arizona. This is the third time that we've been in Arizona here in the fall. And we played the D-backs today. We'll play the Royals tomorrow. We play another pro team in the schedule the day after that, and then the guys will have a showcase workout for professional teams and also colleges, and then we'll play against a couple of college teams and then play in the Arizona Four Classic, which is run by Ted Hyde, who's been involved in international baseball with the Seattle Mariners mm-hmm. for a number of years now. So look, it's just a really good opportunity for the kids, number one, to be able to strive, development wise give them a really good context about how good players are at the next level, but also to expose these guys on, like the next level of baseball. So, we will see a bunch of kids who will be, from this trip who will end up in colleges in the US and, some in professional baseball. There was a young fellow who's on this trip from the Netherlands who's just signed with the Atlanta Braves. So, it's off to a really, really good start. And it's a great initiative by MLB. And, some of these players are coming from, countries where, like baseball isn't the number one sport. It's a bit of a battle for them to be able to get exposure and to put them in front of college scouts and college recruiters and have those colleges, understand that there's some really good baseball players around the world is something that's really exciting.
Well, I have told people, been fortunate, been in the game over 35 years, and I've always told people that Australia is one of the best when it comes to coaches development, especially on a long-term basis. And, I simply say, and my statistics aren't the best, but they're pretty close. I mentioned, that I look at countries like Australia and I look at countries like Canada and also the Netherlands, they've got a lot of players playing baseball, but not compared to the Dominican Republic, the Venezuela, the U.S., the Japan. The numbers aren't comparable, but yet at the professional level, your numbers are very big and compare very well. That just doesn't start from anywhere. That starts from a great program. So I want to go back a little bit in history and kind of talk about, how you guys set up this development program for coaches, why you believe it's so important instead of just hearing it from me.
So it's like you mentioned, it's been a long time in existence. And I think initially it was driven out of the Australian Sports Commission or Australian Institute of Sport around, accreditations and, being able to, accredit coaches and educate them and kind of license them to coach at the different age groups. And, it's developed, like you mentioned, it's been, 20 odd years now to where it's been in its existence. And it was, born from the Australian Sports Commission, Australian Institute of Sport, who were, kind of implementing, how we can better coach young people and have them be involved in the game. So, a lot of hard work, a lot of expertise has gone into it, over a number of years and as with all things, it's evolved and we've been fortunate to be able to have a lot of people who have had involvement and connections with professional baseball. A lot of players who spent time in the US as professional athletes and then have come back and kind of passed on their thoughts and some of the latest teachings and everything. So it continues to evolve and get better and it's been there for a long time and it's probably like you mentioned, there's a lot of baseball players, in Australia that, we've got about 50,000 registered baseball members in Australia, which is, not a lot compared to a lot of the other countries where baseball is the number one sport, but, it's very much reliant on volunteers. And a lot of the time it's mums and dads who don't have a baseball background. They weren't former players. And that's the other thing that, some of the countries where baseball is the number one sport, it's quite easy to be able to find talented people who have a lot of experience in baseball, whereas, a lot of the time, you know, a kid playing baseball in Australia, it might be the first experience that family has ever had in the sport. So a lot of the time they're relying on mums and dads who, you know, turn up week in and week out, and, you know, they want to get better. They want to help the kids out. And inherently, you know, anyone who's generally out there coaching kids is doing it for the right reasons. And, you know, so having a system there where they can learn a little bit more about it is quite good. You know, it's evolving again. And, you know, we have Michael Crooks, who's just started with us with Baseball Australia. He's been there for about 6 months now. And in his remit is, you know, kind of redesigning how we coach coaches and you know, in implementing some of the latest information that, you know, is available to us, some of the data and some of the technology that's available to us, and, you know, really kind of, you know, helping shape it to make it, number one, easier for parents and people who are new to the game to coach, but also overlaying some of the coaching theory in it. So those who have had professional or college experience can really kind of get their message across and really, really coach the athletes the way that they should be coached.
Sure. Glenn, give us an idea, you know, because, you know, we deal with parents all over the world. I always say the largest coaches association, even though it's not an organized association, but the largest coaches group, no doubt about it, when you look worldwide, that are dealing, especially at the grassroots level, are your moms and dads. So whether it's Australia, you look at the U.S., under the age of 14, the majority of our coaches are volunteers and moms and dads. Even though there might be some travel programs, we still have a lot of volunteers in the U.S. too. Give us an idea. What are some of the things that, you know, your director that you just mentioned, what are you guys emphasizing with your coaches that's so important at the grassroots level when with the young kids that's helping the program grow?
You're making sure that they're active, you know, and traditionally, you know, it's quite difficult if you're a volunteer and, you know, baseball is a pretty technical sport, and someone who's brand new to it coming in it's quite intimidating. You would imagine if you haven't had involvement in it before, you don't want to come in, you don't want to try and say something wrong and everything like that. But, you know, like the real emphasis for us is making sure that, you know, there's drills and there's programs and there's things that mums and dads can come and run regardless of their baseball expertise and skills, and just make sure that the players are active and that it's a fun and safe environment and they're enjoying themselves. And, you know, ultimately the majority of the players that you're going to be coaching aren't going to turn out to be superstars. They're not going to be playing in Yankee Stadium. And those mm-hmm. who do have the ability and those who, you know, end up progressing down the track will have opportunities to be able to be exposed to some of the best coaches there. So I think that just expressing to the mums and dads that, you know, that they can be great coaches, and although they may not have great baseball experience, they might have had a military background, or they might have been, you know, had a really good experience, you know, in another sport, and they can bring, you know, some of the external, you know, periphery type skills that everyone keeps talking about with time management and, you know, being a good teammate and respecting the game and doing all of those things. So you don't have to have a lot of baseball expertise to be able to coach those things. So, you know, the emphasis that we'll be looking at, you know, in Australia moving forward is, you know, number one, providing activities to where it's not intimidating for people. They can understand a drill, they can understand an activity, they can put a group of young people involved in it. And if kids are engaged and kids are out there and they're active, then they're more likely to enjoy what they're doing and stick around in the sport. And then, you know, really kind of, you know, prioritizing what needs to happen at each level is quite important for us as well. You know, a lot of the exposure that people have, you know, to baseball in Australia is, you know, like rightfully so, Major League Baseball, and you can pick up your phone and click on a button and you can watch games live, you know, now on your phone, which is something that, you know, 20 years ago people wouldn't have dreamed of. So that exposure is really great, you know, so people can see that. But, you know, some of the misgivings that in and around it, that, you know, people, you know, will watch a major leaguer and try and coach a 10 or 11 year old to hit like a major leaguer when mm-hmm. they might not have the physical capability, they don't have the experience, and they don't have a lot of things in there. So, you know, really kind of emphasizing what the priority areas are on that, and, you know, having, you know, kind of getting it back to the core skills and basing a lot of the drills around, you know, those core skills that, you know, that athletes need to learn. And, yeah, just making it fun and active and enjoyable and, you know, like a little less intimidating for the parents, because it's, you know, like you said, it's generally mums and dads who are quite committed to it, and coaching a junior team is really, really difficult. you know, the more people that can kind of chip in and help out with that, the better. So, yeah, hopefully we can create those environments there and create a program where people will, you know, really want to get involved in it and really want to, you know, get out there and chip in and help young people out.
That's great. And, you know, you mentioned intimidating. You know, I was in New Zealand and, you know, I love rugby, but I'm still trying to figure it out. So if I had to coach rugby, I would be pretty intimidated, you know, if I wasn't sure exactly what to do. But it seems to be that you guys laid out a pretty good program that kind of guides the parents into what they're doing. And one of the toughest areas that I have found anywhere, again, going anywhere in the world, where we tend to lose kids is in practices. And, you know, that's because, you know, a lot of the practices are boring. And, you mentioned that you have things for them where, you know, you can help them organize. Are they going through a program, or is it, you know, you have, I believe it, there's an online program, because I know you build from your T-ball all the way up. So you have a lot of different levels.
Yeah, so we've got four levels in Australia at the moment. And that, again, it was a lot of our coaching accreditations and coaching programs have been driven around the Australian Sports Commission. And, you know, they obviously have a framework that they like sports to be able to work to, you know, like for their reporting purposes. And one of their major remits and one of their major, I guess, KPIs is making sure that there's more active Australians. And I'm sure that's probably, you know, similar around the world. People, you know, the government wants people to be more active and especially kids to be more active. So a lot of the framework was driven around that. And, you know, I think that, you know, the framework will remain similar, you know, however, the new coaching methodology and how coaches coach and some of these new programming and some of the new drills and some of the new, I guess, philosophy that will be implemented in there will be less technical and more around how the drills are. And, you know, Michael, who's working for Baseball Australia now, you know, has a heavy background in a lot of different sports and, you know, is excellent at setting structure and framework in and around it. So he has some really good ideas about how we can kind of revolutionize how it is. And you know, there's, you know, tests and there's theory and there's, you know, reading involved in it, you know, under the previous model and looking at ways that we can kind of, you know, make it a little bit more digital and a little bit more interactive. And, you know, like some of the ideas that Michael has is in and around it is, you know, like kind of a coaches forum type thing where, you know, as part of their you know, judging as or, you know, like judging on whether they're going to get their accreditation as a coach is potentially a video presentation that they do around some drills, but being really, really about the intent and what we want to see out of the athletes and, you know, like giving a little bit of poetic license, a little bit of creativity to someone who, you know, may have come from another sport that, you know, if the goal is, well, we want the kids to be able to run faster and they need to be able to cut the corner and they need to do this. That's kind of the key thing. So, you know, like how are you going to teach that and what are some of the drills and what are the things you can come up with it? So if we can get to the point where all of these young coaches and up-and-coming coaches are creating drills and they're doing video presentations as part of their marking, you know, like then that might sit on a repository where people, you know, who want to get better at coaching and want to see better ideas can go on and click on it and have a look and, you know, comment on it and all kinds of things. So, you know, if it's peer-driven and, you know, people are helping other people, I think that it's got a chance to be, you know, a little bit revolutionary. And I know that a lot of other sports in Australia have kind of gone down that model. So, you know, we've had the accreditation for a number of years and you know, just like anything, if you're going to get a license to do something, then, you know, sometimes it can be intimidating. And, you know, for people who potentially have a baseball experience before, you know, they kind of viewed it as something that they didn't think it was necessary to do. So the accreditation part is still very much there, but you know, a real major emphasis on, you know, coach education and how we can, you know, like the way that we coach, how can we do that better? And, you know, what are some of the things that we want out of baseball? So, yeah, it's a lot of work to do, obviously, and it's a big challenge. But, you know, I think that we have, you know, Michael in his role is really good. I think we've got a lot of baseball experience that's in Australia and a lot of people who will be able to help provide really, really good content. So, yeah, it's a lot of work to do, but yeah, exciting times ahead, I think, in that space.
You know, and a great example that you're setting, I think, for a lot of other countries too, is the support base that you're giving your volunteer coaches. You know, the information, the programs, because of the fact that they are volunteers, and I'm a big believer that, you know, we need to support volunteers. So I love to see that. Now, tell our audience, you know, in Australia, you've got different levels. You got T-ball, and then you go to next level. Are there certain unique things that you do at any level that might be different because, you know, to make the game a little bit more fun or a little bit more interactive, you know, whether it's pitch ball or you know, coach pitch or anything else that you might do that could help our audience, you know, become better also at their levels?
Yeah, look, not so much. I think that we follow, you know, like pretty much a traditional model, and it's something we're investigating a lot because, you know, we generally see young people come and try the game. So they start off with T-ball and then they'll, you know, progress onto, you know, some kind of form of machine pitch or coach pitch and mm-hmm. then into the Little League pathway. So we have, you know, direct entry with Little League, at Little League, at Junior League, Intermediate League, and also Senior League. So the competition pathway is quite strong, and the players who get an opportunity to be able to play in those competitions, whether it's a state competition, a national competition, or just their local leagues, you know, the competition is pathway is quite strong. And there's a lot of people that work really hard around, you know, providing extra opportunities and development opportunities for kids in and around that space. I think that one of the things that, you know, we're investigating and looking at ways of doing it is, you know, and again, getting back to the coaching, you know, things for us to be able to maintain and retain players, that the game needs to be fun and the players need to be active. And at times when you've got young people who, you know, like, again, it's not a national sport, so they're not out in the backyard with their parents, you know, playing catch at 4 years old or at 5 years old, like they are in the US or Japan or mm-hmm. Korea and, you know, all these other countries where it's ingrained in players. So when you have young players that are out there that are pitching for the first time, you know, getting it over the plate at 46 feet is quite difficult. And then you've got yes. hitters who aren't used to seeing that ball at that age. So, you know, when the ball is in, not many strikes getting thrown and not many balls in play, you know, there's generally 9 players standing around not doing too much. So looking at ways that we can kind of force action a little bit more and force balls in play. And if it means that, you know, at some of the local leagues and some of the development leagues, we alter the way that the counts work and we alter the way that, you know, things work, and we do it, you know, like at some of our MLB programming for some of the younger kids with the machine pitch, you know, they take a strike, they're out, you know, like, so just really trying to force action with them, mm-hmm. you know, because the ball's in play, that it means someone's got to field it, someone's got to throw it, someone's running, you know, like there's just way more happening. So it's definitely something we're investigating in, and you know, it's something we speak at length about. But, you know, again, we're doing, you know, some good things, but we've still got a long, long way to go. We're still a developing country, and you know, finding ways to be able to, you know, get some first choice athletes into the game. You know, generally we battle very heavily with some of the football codes in Australia for the big, strong, athletic, fast athletes. And when you have 25 million people in a country and, you know, the majority of your best athletes are playing those big physical sports, you know, who have billion-dollar TV deals, it makes it a little bit difficult. But, yeah, a lot of work to do. So trying to get some more first-choice athletes in there, trying to make the game more enjoyable for the kids that are in there. So hopefully we can retain them and, you know, provide strong, solid pathway, you know, programs for them, you know, throughout. And then at the top end, again, like I said, we're quite fortunate to be, you know, very well supported by Major League Baseball, a very committed board for Baseball Australia, who are very keen on seeing high performance and national team results, you know, which results in you know, we're a lowly funded national team program when compared to a lot of other team sports that are playing at the Olympic Games. But we have a board who is extremely, you know, passionate about the national team, and they're very supportive. So they tend to find, you know, the limited funds elsewhere to help us do more for athletes within our programs.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, folks, you're listening to Glenn Williams with Baseball Australia. If you're listening to him, he's being a little modest because of the fact that, you know, he's telling you the truth about the program in Australia. But at the same time, you know, if they keep going where they're going right now, they're one of the top countries in the world when it comes to international competition. They produce a lot of major league players, a lot of guys in pro ball, and definitely a lot of guys in college baseball. That started somewhere, as we talked about in the program, where they started with their coaches development program. Glenn, listen, you know, something that I was thinking about when you were talking was, you know, and you're competing against other sports, and other countries have that same issue. We have it in the U.S. You know, soccer is one of the fastest growing sports in the U.S. Under the age of 14. So we're competing against it because, as you mentioned several times, fun and active. When you play soccer, you're running, and then, you know, kids are automatically having fun. Baseball is not exactly in that sport that will do that. What do you guys do to get players to play the game? Would you go to schools? You introduce a program? You know, maybe that can also help some federations around the world. How do you get young kids to, you know, play the game?
Yeah, that's a challenge as well, you know, for us. And you know, a lot of it comes down to exposure and, you know, like an understanding of the game. And, you know, like we're still small and, you know, like with the, like I said, we compete with athletes at, you know, kind of the highest level throughout the pathway programs. And you're also competing with, you know, some major sports around the country who do a great job at the grassroots, you know. And, you know, in Australia, the AFL run a program called AFL AusKick, and it's a brilliant program that's, you know, heavily funded, and they get out in schools and they do things. And tennis has got, you know, Net Set Go, and a lot of these programs, you know, have been successful in schools because they don't necessarily require a background in that sport to be able to do it. It's based in and around, you know, the skills that the kids will learn out of it. And, you know, they're quite fun and they're quite unique and they're quite active. So, you know, we're looking, you know, we had a program in Australia called Aussie T-Ball. The Australian federal government have a program in place to where sports can, you know, get funding to be able to, or schools get funding to be able to implement different programs in there. So there's a suite of schools that they can choose from, and they go in there, click there, and you know, you can, if they click Aussie T-ball, then we can come out and run an Aussie T-ball program. But, you know, again, like with everything, we have a new CEO, Cam Vale, who had come in, and Cam's been there for, you know, almost 16 months now. So, and doing a lot of things, and we've kind of reviewed pretty much everything that we do. And, you know, the next thing for us is to look at our school program and our entry level program and how we can adjust that. And the advantage that baseball has over a lot of other sports is that, you know, the four key things that, you know, in athletic development, the Australian government looks at it, and maybe other governments look at it differently, but they look at jumping, they look at running, they look at striking, and they look at throwing. So baseball has all of those things, you know, so, you know, that's what we need to be able to really base it on. And again, taking the intimidation factor away from actually having someone implement it, because ultimately the end user and the end deliverer of the program is going to be a teacher. And unless they're a baseball person, then they're going to be quite intimidated about doing it. So we're providing a program that keeps kids active and, you know, comes down to them either throwing at targets or racing each other around the bases or trying to hit the ball as far as they can. And, you know, they don't know that they're playing baseball, but they're doing some baseball activity. And, you know, if we've got, you know, some baseball, you know, like memorabilia, and they're wearing a baseball hat and they're wearing a baseball shirt and they're doing other things, then hopefully that translates into them end up playing the game or end up, you know, tuning in and watching ABL games or end up, you know, turning up and watching ABL games live. So, yeah, it's definitely a challenge. And you know, like it's one of those ones where you got to be a little bit creative. You don't want to just kind of trot out, well, AFL do this, so let's do a baseball version. And that's kind of what Aussie T-ball is. It's a really good program. It's really glossy. And for someone who has a baseball background, they could come in and run it really successfully at schools. But, you know, having the volume of people that have the capacity to be able to roll out a baseball program in schools just isn't there at the moment. So if we can make something to where they can take those drills and take activity and make kids active and it has some baseball correlation, then I think that would be, you know, really help with the growth in the numbers of the game.
You know, and I love that you constantly, you know, you're with your CEO and all your people, you're constantly reviewing programs to try to make them better. And that's, I think, something that we need to emphasize all over the world. And I hope everybody's doing that. I hope everybody's evaluating themselves as coaches or as programs. And, you know, even though, you know, somebody may be at the top, that doesn't mean you've arrived. So I hope that programs are doing that. You know, now, Glenn, you know, you went from playing as a young kid when you were in Australia all the way up to the national team program to the big leagues. Give us an idea when you were playing at, you know, at any level. What did you as a player look for when it came to coaches? What did you want out of coaches? What were you looking for, from your coaches to make you better? Was there anything particular that you really wanted your coaches to know?
No, I think that it probably evolved as I went on and I learned a little bit more about myself. So I think like a lot of young players and I came from Australia and I was 16 when I started professional baseball, and I came in with the mindset that, you know, I'd been successful my whole life all the way through to 16. I signed for a lucrative contract to turn up with the Atlanta Braves, and, you know, I'm expecting to come off the plane and have success right away. And when I look at it in hindsight, I was, you know, 16 competing against grown men, and it's like, I was never ever going to have success, you know, like, so if I had have just locked in on just concentrating on getting better and better each day, then I would have done a lot better. So I think early on in my career, like a lot of young players, I was looking for, mechanical cues from coaches, more so probably for a reason why I wasn't competing well, as opposed to, for any development reasons, because I got so caught up in trying to compete and trying to have a good batting average and driving runs and all this other stuff that I forgot to kind of just develop and get better, day in and day out. So as my career evolved and I learned a little bit more about myself, it was more around, when I was hitting, less about mechanics and more about my timing, more about my approach, more about, whether I was seeing the ball and really getting back to the basics. And I look back at it now, some of the coaches that I had in my career, and, my dad was, one of my best coaches, and it was very limited mechanical cues. It was very, kind of outcome driven and, hey, see the ball, drive it, get it in the air, see, I can hit it, how you hit the guy in the chest, so it wasn't, hey, you need to do this with your foot or do with your hands. This is very, very limited, mechanical cues. And it was more so very outcome driven. And, when I kind of go back in my career and you kind of evaluate the guys that you would view as some of the best coaches that I've had, you look back at some of your favorite coaches and probably the thing that they had in common, for me was they were very, very, it was very, very outcome and very, very process driven as opposed to very mechanical. So I never look back at someone that goes, oh, this is the guy that, taught me how to, do this with my hips or do this with my hands. It was, very, very limited with all of those things. It was more about, hey, this is the outcome that you're looking at doing, make sure you're on time and get the job done with all of those things. So, that's probably, I know it's very general and very, very difficult to do as a coach, but, some of the things when, I tried to transition from, playing to coaching and, the biggest challenge that I found myself was sometimes you don't have to say anything. And, as coaches, you really, really want to help people. And I think that anyone who, dedicates themselves to coaching people, especially as a volunteer, you're doing it because you want to help people and you want to help people out. And, sometimes as a coach, the most difficult thing to do is say nothing and let a player kind of find their way through it. But yeah, when I think back in my career, some of the people who were, some of the best guys were kind of really good at telling me what needed to get done, as opposed to telling me how I should be doing it to get it done. So, I'm not sure if that makes sense, but
I got to tell you, Glenn, that is outstanding. I'll tell you why, because, you didn't know it back then, but now obviously you know it now. You were very fortunate, having your dad in that and having a dad that's had that experience, because, one of the things that you said extremely well was to say less. And what's happened in the last 20 years in coaching, especially in the U.S., is that we tend to say way too much and not listen enough and not, and give too many cues. So I'm glad you brought that up, because now we're going full circle. Now we're going back to the point where now we're telling coaches, hey, let the kids figure it out. Give them the outcome. Let them, explain to them what you're trying to accomplish, but let them figure it out. So you couldn't have said it any better. And I'm so glad you said that. Now, throughout all these years, you've now been coaching. So you've had to, put in, what you learned into the coaching aspect, and you gave some great advice to your coaches. Now, let's say I'm a first time coach that, in Australia, and I'm just getting started. You mentioned fun and active, some special advice for them, in any country where they're just getting started, some special advice for them, that could help them grow as coaches.
Yeah. Well, for me, I would just, try and keep it as simple as possible and just, look at the fun stuff in the game. And, when, kids are out there and they're starting to play the game, they all want to have a pitch or they want to throw, they want to catch, but the funnest thing that they want to do is they want to hit. And, it's a really, really difficult thing to be able to do. And, in Australia, it's a cultural thing. And I don't know if it comes from cricket where, contact, you can get up there and you can make soft contact, until someone throws one in your wheelhouse and you can actually get out there and score runs. But, culturally, we're not very aggressive at the plate. And for whatever reason, it's ingrained in us. And, you know, like when coaches are out there, you know, like the kids, and we talked about, you know, we talked to some kids at the recent 14 and under MLB program that they're conditioned not to swing the bat because, you know, they've got a young human that's the same, you know, like age as them, who's struggling to throw the ball for a strike. If they stand up there with the bat on the shoulder, then chances are they're going to get a walk and they're going to get to first base. And when they do walk, mum and dad are excited that they didn't get out, so they start clapping and you know, they're kind of rewarding them for getting a walk. If they swing and miss, then mum and dad groan. So now all of a sudden swinging and missing and being aggressive is a bad thing, and, you know, being patient and taking pitches is something really good. And, you know, it's you know, for me, they have to realize that hitting a baseball is really difficult. It's difficult to do for, you know, 25, 30, 40-year-olds in the big leagues. It's difficult for, you know, 11-year-old who, you know, they might have only seen a dozen pitches come at them in their entire life. So, you know, keeping it really, really simple, you know, having them see the ball and, you know, really kind of encouraging them to be aggressive, you know, is probably the key thing I'd do, because, you know, I have my wife's, you know, best friend from school is, her son has just started, he's my godson's brother, has just started playing baseball. He's 8 years old, and he went on the weekend, and the other weekend, and I got a call from his dad, and his dad was just so excited. He's like, I can't believe he's hit the ball. You know, like, so he was up there and I don't know if he struck out or walked, but I said, where did it go? He goes, I don't know. I don't know the positions. I don't know where it went, but, you know, my son swung and he hit the ball and he made contact. And, you know, like, so for when you think about young people like that, you know, like, it's difficult enough to hit as it is. And, you know, if you encourage them to be aggressive and they're up there, they're swinging the bat, you know, give them three chances to hit the ball when they're up there. And, you know, don't tell them to take pitches. Don't tell them to work counts. Don't tell them to do anything other than see the ball and, you know, take a swing at it. They swing it one over their head, then, you know, don't even worry about it. But yeah, just try and encourage them to be aggressive and yeah, just encourage them to love the game and you know, realize it's quite difficult to do it. So yeah, it's, and look, I take my hat off to anyone who, you know, get up in the morning and head out on a Saturday morning, you know, like, and a lot of the people, it's, you know, their kids are on the team and, you know, makes it a little bit easier to be there. But, you know, anyone who's volunteering their time to be able to help young people get out there and enjoy sport is, you know, you've got to tip your cap to them, and it's really, really hard to be critical of them. And, you know, they're out there doing it because they love to help people out. So, you know, if it wasn't for them, then the game around the world, regardless of Australia or the US or wherever, the game wouldn't be where it is in the world without those volunteers who are, you know, putting a huge effort in. So I guess the best advice I would give them is just keep doing it and keep enjoying it. And it's your job's not easy. And as much as you don't feel like people appreciate it, then, you know, people will appreciate it eventually.
Absolutely. Now we're coming to the end pretty close here. I just wanted to, you know, when you look at the long-term development program that Australia's had, like you said, you go back into the, when your dad actually started, and, you know, was there a goal when developing the game at the grassroots level, but you also had to focus at the national level, national team level, because you had to give, I'm assuming you had to give kids an opportunity to reach for something, to see something out there. Was this a two-fold program where you worked at the grassroots level and the national level at the same time, or did one come before the other?
Yeah, look, I think that it was probably, you know, baseball's background in Australia is, you know, like, it's probably like everything, you know, I think American soldiers brought it, you know, with the war, and, you know, it was there, and, you know, cricket is our traditional sport, and that's played in the summertime. So baseball originally was played in the wintertime and to coincide with the US summer. And then cricket was played in the summertime. So my dad growing up, he played cricket in the summer, and then cricketers would go and play baseball in the wintertime. That was it. That was what was done. So, you know, that's how it kind of, it grew there. And look, the national team program has been there for a number of years. And, you know, my dad was fortunate enough to play, you know, for the national team, but, you know, I talked to him about it when they went, and, you know, baseball was very much a growing sport in Australia. And, you know, they used to go to tournaments, and, you know, they were there to make up the numbers, and they used to get beat up pretty bad. And, you know, the evolution of the game, and, you know, I think that, you know, having players, you know, playing in the original Australian Baseball League, you know, young kids getting an opportunity to be able to kind of see that, you know, was part of the growth of Australia. And then I think that, you know, the grassroots type initiative was more of an Australian government type initiative. You know, they wanted people to be active and, you know, wanted to have young baseball players out there and, you know, like the market wasn't as crowded. And, you know, the way that you could do it was, you know, get ABL guys to go out to schools and hand out free tickets and have them come watch games. So I think that it was a little bit, you know, everything kind of happened organically. I don't think it was strategically put together in any way. And then, you know, like as, you know, with all things, when the sport starts to grow and you get more people playing and, you know, the competition level gets better and there's more, you know, people with opportunities to go and play in college and on in professional baseball and they start to come back and filter there, it just, it's a long process, but it, you know, it just starts to grow and grow. And you know, I talk to my dad now and he's proud of the fact that he played for Australia. And you know, we're talking about, you know, we go to the World Cup or we go to the WBC and you know, we're talking about, we're going to match up against Cuba. We need to beat these guys. We've got a plan to be able to do it. You know, like, and, you know, we're talking like, we're going to go out there and beat them. We've got confidence we can, you know, match it with anyone in the world. And, you know, he's like, there's no chance that we were ever in that position, you know, back when he played on it, you know, so it's definitely growing. And look, we're realistic about it. You know, we've got a long ways to go. And, you know, I think that we're starting to, you know, do some things to where, you know, we're giving our national team opportunities to be able to perform. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's about continuing to develop athletes and continuing to provide opportunities. And you know, hopefully those guys continue to get better. And you know, for us, I think the next step for us as far as the national team goes is, you know, having our entire national team, you know, playing as like being professionals. And, you know, like there's times when we go to the WBC, we've got, you know, like there's a 28-man roster. We've got 12 or 13 guys that have to take time away from their day jobs. They're driving forklifts or they're firemen or they're driving Ubers and they're driving all of these things. And I don't think that people, you know, truly realize that. So I think that would be the next evolution of Australian baseball. And, you know, if we can get to that point where every member of our team that plays at a WBC or at a Premier 12 is a professional and that's mm-hmm. all they do for a living is play baseball, then that's where we can really make some strides. So, you know, to think that, you know, we put a national team on the field that goes up against Samurai Japan, who, you know, have a $100 million roster, you know, there at the WBC. And, mm-hmm. you know, we've got, you know, Warwick Sapolda pitched in the big leagues. We've got a bunch of guys who've played in the big leagues a little bit, but, you know, 12 or 14 of our guys, one guy's a school teacher and you know, they're not up every day. They're not throwing and they're not hitting every day. They're not lifting weights every day. So the next evolution for us is, you know, if we really want to get serious, we really, really, really want to compete with the best in the world consistently and really kind of, you know, try and crack the top five and really push to try and you know, do some really special things at Premier 12 or WBC. The next evolution will be, you know, us, you know, with the entire roster full of professional players and the depth to be able to, you know, have 40 or 50 guys that are playing in professional baseball somewhere and we pick our best, you know, 28 or 24 guys and we go to battle. But, yeah, I guess the advantage we have is we know we don't have a lot of depth, but so we know exactly who our guys are. And I tell you what, when they put the Australian team uniform on, they turn into different animals. They love it. So which is something that's really cool.
Yeah, especially representing their country. And you know, obviously they've got a lot of levels from college baseball to professional. And you have your own Australian Baseball League, which recently I believe the New Zealand team has joined the league. That's an opportunity for young kids. That gives them an ability to be able to play professional baseball in their own country, even though I think some of your players, like you said, in the ABL, they would also have to work. You know, that you just couldn't focus just on the baseball part.
Yeah, and that's the difficult thing, you know, like if you're up in the morning at, you know, 6 a.m. and you put a full day's work in and then you got to race out to practice, then, you know, obviously you're not going to lift as hard as you can. You can't take as many swings and all those kind of things. So, you know, like it's the nature of the beast. And, you know, I take my hat off to those guys and respect, you know, I wouldn't call it a sacrifice. You'd probably call it an investment in your life. But, you know, we're fortunate they're making an investment in themselves and they continue to kind of, you know, have passion and strap it on for the national team. And you know, like it's look, the ABL is continuing to grow. The team from New Zealand coming in is really good. The team from that's going to be playing in Geelong will be a Korean team. So it's the first Asian professional team that will be based in an Australian competition and playing in that. So it's quite unique and it's a way to kind of, you know, bring more awareness and to be able to drive further content and interest in the Australian Baseball League. And hopefully the revenue that's generated allows us to be able to, you know, employ Australian baseball players on more of a professional basis. So yeah, it's definitely, look, with everything, it's, you know, we're still definitely a growing sport, and we've got a long, long way to go, and you know, we definitely don't have all the answers, and it'll continue to evolve, and you know, as long as we've got passionate people involved in it who, you know, want to see the best, you know, for the sport, I think that we'll continue to have some success, and hopefully that success comes a little bit quicker over time, and generally that the result in that is if you get more funding or you've got, you know, more capacity, you know, for dollars, then you can make some significant improvements right away. So it's definitely areas that we need to work on and get better, and hopefully we're in a position to be able to continue to evolve the sport.
And finally, Glenn, you know, let's end it with your national team program. That's, you know, obviously right now you've got some of the players there in Arizona. What are some of the things that either you're doing or you're looking to do to help the development of your national team players at the higher level? Like you said, to be able to compete, whether it be the 15-year-old team that was in, you know, Panama, we were lucky to be there to see that in Panama, or whether it's the 18-year-old national team or the senior team. What are some of you, maybe some unique things that you're looking to do that could help in their development?
Yeah, so look, for us, again, it's probably, you know, providing some more context on what, you know, the top level of baseball is. So, you know, the Little League pathway is really, really good, and it's quite competitive because the carrot at the end of it is a free trip to Williamsport. So, you know, some of the games that our young players are playing are quite competitive, but, you know, just having them have an understanding of just the quality of baseball that are around the world. And, you know, we had the 15 under team that went away this year, and you know, we had some, you know, pretty good players on that team that could probably match it with a lot of the other players that were in that World Cup, which is exciting for us. And then, you know, we you know, acknowledge and know that we're not going to roll out there and be able to compete day in and day out, and we're not going to have the depth to be able to put 20 players on a roster who, you know, are ready to compete at that level, because some of the kids just aren't as physically developed as some of the teams that we're playing against and all those kind of things. So I think just looking at the program and providing, you know, more opportunities for those guys to be able to have international experience. And, you know, we go out there to try and win every game, you know, as an Australian national team. You do it for pride, and you're not going out there to try and lose games. So, you know, we're out there trying to win, but we're also, you know, looking at putting the development of the athletes before the actual performance on the field, especially at the 12 and unders and 15 and unders. At the 18 and unders, when, you know, players are starting to catch up physically and they've had exposure to international competition before, and you know, they've had the ability to be able to compete against professionals, or compete against colleges, and compete against players that are better than them, and they have an understanding and context of what baseball is worldwide. Then, you know, the 18 and under level, the last two tournaments we've competed really well. I thought, you know, we came fourth in Japan, and then fifth in Canada, and kind of a win here or there away from like really competing for a medal. So, and our 23 and under team, you know, obviously that gets better again, and you know, taking those kids once they leave our hands. So, and I guess the major emphasis on it from a national team perspective and from a development perspective is, you know, we view our job as preparing the athletes and pushing them through to the next level. And the next level for our kids after 18 and unders is college baseball or professional baseball. So, you know, we'll roll out again in a few weeks' time here in Colombia, a 23 and under team. And, you know, we've got 8 professional position players. We've got, you know, like 3 guys, the other 3 position players that we have are, you know, like either in college or graduated from college. And then we've got a current collegiate D1 catcher who's going to play for us. So position player depth is really good. You know, we're rolling out some pitchers. We've got some guys coming in from college, and, you know, then some guys that have finished their collegiate careers. So the big challenge that we'll find now is, you know, we have about 90 players from Australia that are in colleges in the US, and, you know, staying in contact with them and tracking them and, you know, getting them to be available for a 23 and under national team is a challenge. And the timing of it, you know, isn't conducive to get our pro guys available. So, you know, that's the next challenge. So we get him to the next level, and that's been really, really good. But, you know, like everything, you're developing the guys, you want to see them have personal success, but, you know, as a federation, you're investing in them so you can have national team success as well. And, you know, like I said, we're fortunate that, you know, the guys that come through our programs are really appreciative of what Baseball Australia do for them, really appreciate what MLB do for them. And, you know, we're creating a culture now to where those players that have represented their country before at junior national team levels, they can't wait to strap the uniform again and play, whether it's 23 and under or senior national team. So, yeah, we've got a lot of work to do again. But, you know, like if we can continue to provide opportunities for these kids to play international baseball throughout, you know, up until kind of 18 and unders. It's going to help them, and then it's going to help prepare them for when they do get to college or professional baseball to transition to it, you know, a little easier.
All right. And finally, what we normally do with all our shows, Glenn, just so you know, there's a lot of things to talk about, but sometimes there's something you wanted to mention that maybe, you know, we didn't get a chance to discuss, something that might help our coaches anywhere in the world. Any last minute advice for our coaches? Take whatever time you need, and then we'll finish it up.
I think we've pretty much covered it, Pete. I don't have too much else to offer other than, you know, passing on appreciation for anyone who, you know, does what they, you know, gets out there day in and day out and coaches kids and just wants to see them get better. So, again, you know, I was fortunate when I grew up, I had, you know, my dad there that helped me out, but then I had plenty of other people that, you know, were, you know, would get out there on a Saturday morning or a Tuesday night and a Wednesday night, and they could be spending time with their, you know, family at home and, you know, they're out there doing it, you know, to try and help people out. So, just continue to do what you do and continue to look for ways to evolve and look for ways to be able to make your players better. And, you know, they may not get too much appreciation out of them right away, but I guarantee that, you know, if these guys do get success and they are getting better and, you know, then you're kind of, you know, enriching their lives a little bit. And, you know, at some point in their life, they'll look back at it with some fondness and know that you had a major impact in what they did. So just keep doing what you're doing and keep putting the work in and you know, that's what's going to help baseball grow and help baseball get better. So,
all right. Well said. And you know, one thing we always talk about, and we're really developing life skills, and you said it perfectly. All right. That is Glenn Williams with Baseball Australia. Glenn, got to thank you, man. I know you're on a tight schedule. Enjoy Arizona and hope to catch up with you somewhere in the world.
All right. Thanks, Pete. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right. That again, Glenn Williams, Baseball Australia. Finally, thanks to everyone listening to the show that interviews baseball's best coaching minds who love the challenge of status quo. Keep spreading the word on the show by forwarding our Twitter. We're at Baseball Out, Facebook, Baseball Outside the Box. All you got to do is forward that to everybody you know in the game. And I believe that it will really help them because we have a lot of videos and a lot of tips on Twitter and Facebook. So check it out. And remember, keep challenging yourself as a coach. As Glenn mentioned, always get better. You can do that daily by listening to the show, but you can also go online and see a lot of different teaching techniques. So I'd love to hear from you. Any questions, any guests you want to recommend, comments on the show, how to make it better. We're always trying to get better here at Baseball Outside the Box. Email me at petercaliendo@icloud.com, Caliendo, C-A-L-I-E-N-D-O. Special thanks to Brian Crock, our producer, and our guest, Glenn Williams. Don't miss the next show, which will always challenge your coaching. We promise to you that our show will definitely do that. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. Have a great coaching day, and we'll see you on the next show.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.